Going to look at something quite interesting. Nicole's going to put it on the screen. The topic this morning is repent. Repent. How many of you know what it means? Raise your hands. How many of you know what it means? All right, about maybe half, if we're lucky. You see, folks, we grew up in a different age. How's the foot doing, okay? Getting there? Man, we got a lot of guys over here that need attention, huh? Let me gather my thoughts. We use vocabulary that we have grown up with, the King James, Old King James, etc., etc. And the minute a translation comes out that does not necessarily have that word repent, we condemn the translation. The same with propitiation. When a translation comes out and it doesn't use the word propitiation, oh no, that's a false Bible. But you've got to understand, I've got to understand, we've got to use language that people in this day and age can understand. So here's a number of folks here this morning. If I go to them individually and say, repent, duh, what? Have got no clue what repent means. And so we use that terminology or we use that name or that word over and over. Nothing wrong with it. But we're missing half the people that don't understand it. So how would I use repent in this day and age? Change your mind, dude. Change your mind, dude. Turn away from this. This is where you are. Change your mind because I'm presenting to you something real. So I'm telling you, change your mind, dude. Because what you have ain't real. Repent and turn away. But if you turn away, you've got to turn towards something. So turn away from that lifestyle and turn towards God that's got a better lifestyle through Jesus Christ. So come on, dude, get with it. All right. It's a command given by Peter that shook the people to their core in his day. This is what Peter did. Well, he spoke Greek. And he told the people, repent in the Greek language. They were all Jews. They understood what he said because they've come through prophecies in the Old Testament. So this morning, I'm not here to defend the word of God. I'm just proclaiming the word of God and telling you and informing myself there is no better place to go than the Bible. The most true book in all the world. You cannot get a better book than the Bible. For some folks, yeah, it's difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if you're not a follower of Christ or if you have not repented, you cannot understand the Bible. The old folks that are, when I say old, folks that are in the world that have not accepted Christ, they can't understand it. Because the Bible says they can't comprehend that which is spirit. And they've got to be born again. In Acts chapter 2, 38, and that's where we're going to launch from this morning. Peter boy. Each of you must repent of your sins. Change your mind and turn away. Repent. Now notice what I said earlier on. If you going to turn from something, you've got to turn to something else. And here he's laying it out for the Jews. Each of you must repent of your sins. Get away from that. Turn away from that. Turn to God. Now notice the procedures. Turn, repent, turn, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To fully understand this event that is before us on the day of Pentecost, we've got to go a little bit backwards to the Old Testament. Zedekiah, a name given to him by Nebuchadnezzar in about 590 BC, that's way before you and I were born. Zedekiah, name given to him by Nebuchadnezzar, his Hebrew name was Mattaniah. He was the last king of Israel from the house of David. You see, we folks in America can't comprehend this stuff in the sense, in its fullness. Because we go back to the Old Testament, it's with the Jews in particular, and we see how the Jews could relate to the stuff written in the Bible. Now, he was the last king from the house of David. There were other kings, but not from the house of David. The next king to sit on the throne from the house of David is going to be Jesus the Messiah. So up to this point, there is no king from the house of David, because Zedekiah was the last king. Zedekiah saw his sons die before him when Babylon, today's Iraq, today I think it's about 50 miles south of Iraq. It's only the remains of Babylon that are there, but it was a powerful, powerful nation. Babylon besieged Jerusalem, burnt Solomon's temple, which means a lot to the Jews, burnt the temple to the ground, took Zedekiah captive, but before they did that, they killed his sons before him. Then they gouged out his eyes and took him to Babylon, where he's going to die. But all this was prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet. But he didn't listen to Jeremiah. He listened, advisors. Do you know that most times advisors can be wrong? Be careful of too many advisors. And he was listening, Zedekiah, to the advisors, but he said, no, 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 no. Jeremiah said, no. You got to do this or you're going to be taken captive and you will see your sons die. Well, he saw that. The last image before him was the killing of his sons. That's the last thing he saw. And all this happened around 590 BC. So the next king out of the house of David to sit on the throne of David will be the Messiah. Now we go to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, prophesies about the future. But the future had a gap in between. Between Malachi and the New Testament writings, there's about 400 years of silence. For you and I, that means nothing. For those of you that are married, maybe you'll appreciate the silence. Either way, I'm not picking sides today. I want to get out of this place alive. 400 years pass. No word from God. No prophets. Heaven is quiet. And normally when heaven is quiet, the response is, God, are you out there? Where are you? Heaven is silent. No prophets. No direction. Heaven is silent. And it's called the Dark Ages. Oh my gosh. The Dark Ages for the Jews. Not hearing God. Not getting direction. Don't know what to do. And then, of course, we get to Luke 1:13. After this 400 years of silence. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, And you are to name him John. Wow. Now we hear from heaven. Now we get direction. You're going to name him John. Not on the screen, but I'll give it to you. Luke 1:8. 5 times a year, Zechariah would leave his home in Hebron and go to the temple in Jerusalem. Hebron, Jerusalem, about 20 miles. Have you traveled there? To perform his priestly duties. So we know that he's a priest. He had to perform his priestly duties. And during the 3 major Jewish festivals, which are Passover, the weeks, and tabernacles, all priestly divisions served at the temples, at the temple, as pilgrims flocked in from all over the world, like on the day of Passover, like the day of Pentecost. So pilgrims swelled Jerusalem's population, and each priestly order, or in other words, division, had 2 other weeks a year they carried out the daily temple sacrifices and rituals. So a lot of animals were slaughtered. And now if you follow the news, you will see there is a tremendous push to build the third temple. The minute the third temple is rebuilt or completed, a high priest has already been set aside and selected to serve in the temple. The priestly divisions have already been chosen and are now practicing their duties. So once the temple is built, full function in the temple with daily sacrifices again. Oh, there goes the steak and the lamb chops. Daily sacrifice. Oh, Peter is going to go nuts. I don't know how many lawsuits, but you're not going to get away with it in Israel. So they go, each priestly order or division had 2 other weeks a year when they carried out the daily temple sacrifices and rituals. In Luke 1:9, with approximately 18,000 priests in Judea, special duties were assigned by a lot. What is a lot? It's almost like you're putting out 2 sticks and you draw the one stick and the tallest stick is yes, the shortest stick is no, but you don't know it until you draw it. So we find that within the lot system where they had lots, sacred objects of unknown shape and material that would give a yes and a no answer. And when I read this some time ago, a yes and a no answer, you know what came to my mind? The Brazilian steakhouse. Have you been to a Brazilian steakhouse? They've got a red and a green. Green, they come and serve you all the meats. They cut it in front of you. And then you turn it around and it's a red. And they say, stop. So when I saw yes and no, I thought of the Brazilian steakhouse. Meat coming, meat stop coming. Meat coming, stop coming. And now we find yes or no to questions or select one person over another. So once in a lifetime, a priest had the opportunity to enter the temple and offer the incense offering, which is just outside the Holy of Holies. Once in a lifetime. And guess what? The lot was Zechariah. Once in a lifetime, he's going to serve. And the angel speaks to him about a son. So all these years, Zechariah's lot came up. And he had the awesome responsibility of entering the holy place just in front of the Holy of Holies. Once again, us Americans, we got no idea about the temple except what we read in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The Holy of Holies, the place where God manifested himself, revealed himself to the high priest. Zechariah couldn't be there. He was just before because there was a curtain that separated the 2 rooms. There on the incense altar, he burnt the special spices. To read the detail of this entire situation of Zechariah and John and the temple, you read the entire Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and you won't believe it. There are 80 verses. It will take you the rest of your life. Very interesting. But now we go on to, you will name him John. John who? John the Baptist. What was his relationship to Jesus? His name was given John because Jehovah is gracious. Why is Jehovah gracious? Because he doesn't want any human being to go to a lost eternity. And his grace and mercy has been given to all the people. All they've got to do is accept it. He's also known as the Baptist. Now, knowing himself as the Baptist means he's an immerser. Immerser? Putting people under the water. So that's what he's known for. The immerser. One who administers the rite of immersion. And John the Baptist in prophecy. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke about him. Oh, really? So you see, when I say read the Bible or believe the Bible, change your mind, dude, about the Bible, and let me introduce you to the God of the Bible. That means you can repent. You can change. So 700 years before John the Baptist came on the scene, there was a prophecy in Isaiah 40 verse 3. Listen. It's the voice of someone doing what? Have you noticed God loves shouting? I don't know why. You say, why is this church so loud? Oh, well, good. God's happy with shouting. It's the voice of someone shouting. Notice, clear the way through the wilderness. Two things, clear the way, wilderness. And that you relate to John the Baptist. Only John the Baptist did this. But he's got to clear the way for somebody. In other words, it's an introduction. It's a starter before the main course. Make a straight highway through the wasteland of our God. There was a purpose for him, and particularly for the Jews. And when I look at Isaiah 40 verse 3, we find this very phrase is found in all four Gospels. Very unusual. And I'll just quote two of them. Matthew 3, it's not on the screen. Matthew 3, 3. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he's a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. John 1:23. John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I'm a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. So what do we see? You can trust the Bible. What do we learn? The Bible is truth. So change your mind, dude. Repent from your old ways and believe what the Bible says. Turn from sin and turn to God. Malachi's prophecy of John the Baptist, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3 verse 1 says the following. Listen, I will send my messenger to prepare the way. And then the one you are looking for will come suddenly to his temple. What temple? Who is the one that's suddenly going to come? The one that's going to sit on the throne of David. And that one is called the messenger. And the messenger of God's promise. Who's the messenger of God's promise? Jesus, the Messiah. And he's going to bring great joy because your sins can be forgiven. Yes, he is surely coming, says the Lord Almighty. Well, now we have the prophecy of John the Baptist. We see what Peter preached, repent, because he was running off what John the Baptist was doing. And now we go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. Man, oh man, this is interesting. John's clothes were woven from what? Coarse, not smooth, coarse camel hair. And he wore a leather belt around his waist, so he was in with the times. For food, he ate locust and wild honey. If he was married, he would need to have had a toothbrush and toothpaste. Because I don't know how you get those legs out of your teeth. Who knows? He'll just use a twig as a toothpick. Now, ladies, how many of you would love your husband to eat this? What are you going to do when your husband comes home with camel hair? I know some of them may look like they've got camel hair, but I'm not too sure. But in any case, he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. How gross can you get? But it's not unclean food. He's a Jew. He only ate that which was clean, according to the scriptures. But we also find something totally different about this John the Baptist. He was not a people's person. As a matter of fact, you'll find many of the followers of Christ in those days weren't really people person. They weren't. But we find this individual in Matthew 3 verse 4. I've read that one already, the honey one. Matthew 11, 18. John the Baptist did not go around eating and drinking, and you said that man has a demon in him. But Jesus Christ mixed with the crowd, and they also said he was of the devil. So damned if you do and damned if you don't. And here's an individual that didn't have much of a social life. What kind of social life can you have in the desert? Scorpions, snakes, deer, that's it. Gaze the stars or listen to the voice of God. So he was on his own, eating and drinking. That stood for socializing. So he was not a party goer. His mission is summed up in one word, preparer. Prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare the way. I want you to watch the thread. I want you to see how reliable the word of God is. I want you to see how much God loves people, and also for you and I to understand that there's salvation available for all those who don't know Jesus Christ. He's the preparer. And I find two interesting scriptures in Matthew 3 verse 2 and Mark 1 4, the message of this man, John the Baptist. What is his message? What's the call? Repent of your sins. What does that mean? Help me out. What does repent mean? Turn around. Turn away. You see that in the context here? Repent of your sins. How many of you have sinned this week? Don't raise your hand. How many of us can stand here this morning and say, I'm sinless? None of us. But he says, repent of your sins, telling the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews. And turn to God, because the gospel message has not yet been preached to the Gentiles. If you want to accept what he was saying, you had to get circumcised. Males I don't know what they would do with the DEI guys today then. But in any case, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the same concept, okay? So that is his message. But look at Mark 1 verse 4. Mark 1 4, the messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that the people should be baptized. Notice the difference here. Should be baptized to show that they had turned to God to receive forgiveness for their sins. That changed after Jesus. After Jesus, you accept him and then get baptized. So baptism was evident to the people and a sign to the people that something inside has happened. You turned from your sin and accepted Jesus Christ. Here he's saying, I want you to get baptized so that the people could see that you have turned to God. Now notice that. Be baptized to show that they had turned to God to receive forgiveness of their sins. Repentance called for a radical change. Today, I want to present to you as well, this has not changed since then. If you and I repent today, there has to be a radical change in your lifestyle. If there's no radical change in our lifestyle, it proves we have not repented. So in other words, as you repent, you turn to God, and that's a process of growing in the ways of God, the things of God. But today, we want to walk on both sides, the old way and the new way, and not a radical change of life. And we've got to apply that in our lives. If we get to Acts 19, verse 4 and 5. Now we get Paul, earlier in the book of Acts, it was Peter. Now we get Paul in the book of Acts. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself, notice now, John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized. But hang on. I thought they'd been baptized already by John. Yeah, they were. But there's a change. They've got to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and then be baptized. And that's what we see here. As soon as they heard. Who's they? Mostly Jews. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So John's baptism involved a confession of sin. In Matthew 3 verse 6, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Wow. So notice please again. He's an immerser. They went in the water, under the water. In the New Testament, it is symbolic of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For you that have accepted Christ, for us who accepted Christ, and we get baptized, we are associating with the death. I died in Christ, but I also rose in baptism into this newness of life. So it's an evidence to the world, behold, they're watching us. So his baptism was the confession. But what was the consequences? I want you to see something over here. Because remember, he was preaching to the people and they were obeying John the Baptist. But now look what happens in Luke 7, 29, 30. And all who heard John preach, folks, this is phenomenal. And all who heard John preach, even who? The most wicked of them agreed. The most wicked agreed? What caught the attention of the most wicked? the Spirit convicting the heart. All who heard John preach, even the most wicked of them, agreed that God's requirements were right. So what happened? They agreed that God's requirements were right. In other words, they were accepting the fact that they are sinners and God is a just judge. And they were baptized. Who was baptized? Who was baptized? The most wicked. He'll never get saved. Oh, she'll never get saved. Oh, they'll never go to church. How many times haven't I heard? I don't want to come to church because if I come to church, the church is going to burn down. I said, my mate, we insured. Don't worry about it. I hear this over and over and over by people when I talk with them about Jesus Christ. I'm not a church goer. I've never asked you to be a church goer. I'm asking you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The church is full of hypocrites. Oh yeah, there's always room for another one. Come along. Come on. What other excuse you got, my mate? Just change your mind. All that is, except the Pharisees and teachers. Interesting, Pharisees and teachers, because there's another name for these teachers. Sadducees. All that is, except the Pharisees. Nicole, take me back one again. Let's read this in its context. Notice, the most wicked agreed, the most wicked. Not educated in the law of Moses, not educated in the things of God. They were wicked men. They didn't think twice to rob you. They didn't think twice to beat you up. Nope, they were wicked. But they agreed that God's requirements were right and they were baptized by John. Except, look at the next one. All that is, except the Pharisees, the snooty individuals. The guys that will fast and stand on the street corner and brag about their fasting. These are guys that take their peacock feathers and they fan them out for everybody to see. That is except the Pharisees and the teachers of Moses' law. Oh, they big dudes. What did they do? They rejected God's plan. You know what? They thought they were too smart for God. They thought they knew the law. They thought they knew the law in Moses, written by Moses. They thought they were the elite. They rejected God's plan for them. Really? So you're an isolationist? You think you're better than us? You better than the wicked? I wonder in the circumstance now, who actually benefited from John the Baptist's message? The wicked or the Pharisees? The wicked. The wicked. The very ones that you and I would look down upon, they benefited because they accepted the word of God. The Pharisees, no. They rejected God's plan. And what did John the Baptist do? I'm not going to baptize you. What? Do you know who I am? I'm a Pharisee. Yeah, you stink. Well, that's what Jesus said. They stink. They rejected God's plan for them and refused John's baptism. Huh. Big deal, my mate. Who's the loser over here? The Pharisees are the losers. Now look at John's response about the people. Matthew 3 verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many Pharisees, there's that word, the teachers. Another word, the same guys. Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized. He denounced them. You son of snakes. Here's a locust-eating, honey-sucking man calling a Pharisee a snake. I could just see you snake, and there goes the locust leg, and there goes the honey. You sons of snakes, he warned. Man, this is strong. You know what? If we said that today, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. You sons of snakes, he warned. Who said that you could escape the coming wrath of God? Before being baptized, he has the emphasis, guys. Remember, I touched on this early on. Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin. How do you do that? How do you do that? A lifestyle. Yes, I know you may say, well, the man on the cross, he never had time to prove himself. Well, he never got baptized. He just accepted Jesus. And before he could get baptized, he was already in heaven. Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin. How do you put that into one word? Repent. Repent. Turning from sin, turning to God. The Pharisees did not repent. The wicked repented. Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin by doing worthy deeds. Oh, so deeds get me to heaven? No. But if you're born again, you're supposed to be doing good deeds. But you don't do good deeds to get to heaven. So we find they've got to prove that they have turned from sin. Now we've gone all the way back to Zedekiah. We've come through Malachi. We've come to Zechariah. We've come through John the Baptist. So now all this time, we're back to where we started, Acts chapter 2, 38. Based on what John the Baptist was doing, and you know, of course, how he died, a terrible death. There's always a price to pay. Listen carefully to me. There's always a price to pay for you who profess Jesus to be Lord of your life. There's a price to pay. When the world accepts you, there's something wrong with you. If you look how the early Christians were martyred because of their faith. Because when you become a child of God, you've turned from your sinful lifestyle and you've turned to God who is righteous. There's conflict immediate. Immediate conflict. The deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Conflict immediately. And this poor man, head was on a platter. I mean, that's vulgar. That's vulgar. Big festival, and here comes his head on a platter, on a table. How vulgar can you get? We get to Pentecost. That's what Peter said. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version to elaborate on this. And Peter answered them, what must we do? Because the whole argument was the 120 in the upper room, Jews, got filled with the Spirit, or the Spirit came upon them. And the worldly Jews, or the Jews outside of this building where the 120 were, they were hearing this commotion going on in this building, because the Bible says, and each one spoke in a language. And that whole language was creating a stir. And the other Jews that were there for the Feast of Pentecost, they heard these languages and they said, those people must be drunk. Peter says, no, they're not drunk. Was it 9 o'clock in the morning? But in New England, that's not a problem. I mean, 9 o'clock. Depends if it's winter or summer. They're not drunk. And he started preaching the gospel. What must we do to be saved? And then all of a sudden, this Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, answered them. You want to know? Change your mind, dude. Change your mind. Repent. Repent. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner self. Not here, not here. Here. As I'm presenting the word of God today, for those of you that are not born again, you've got something to ask yourself. Do I need to repent? And the answer is yes. Change your views. I'm presenting to you godly views. You and I grew up maybe with non-godly views. Now I'm presenting to you views from God's word, not a church organization. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. Well, you know what? Christianity is not for me. Change your mind, dude. I'm not a churchgoer. Change your mind, dude. Repent. In your inner self, right inside here. Instead of rejecting it. And I've always questioned the people that reject the gospel. Will everybody get saved? No. When Jesus was preaching, many people walked away and said, his teaching is too hard for us. His teaching is too hard for us. So they walked away. But it doesn't stop Jesus from preaching the message. You and I will preach or teach or share with people, and many will not accept Jesus Christ. That's just the nature of the beast. Not everybody's going to get saved. But I debate and I talk with individuals, and I say to them, accept Jesus. Oh, no. Christianity is not for me. I say, what do you know about Christianity? You're making a judgment about something you've never experienced. That's stupidity. Amen. It's like me eating an apple and you're telling me that apple is sour. How do you know it's sour? Oh, because it's green. I said, that's the color of it. That's the kind of apple it is. Have you tasted it? No, it's too sour. No, you're a fool. How come you are making a judgment on something you've never experienced? That's why the Bible says, oh, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord. And once you taste, you will never stop eating because he's the bread of life. Once you drink, you'll never stop drinking because he's the living water. And so people make judgments upon what they perceive and what they see without experiencing. It's the same what's happening in the news media. It's the same what's happening in Iraq. Some say Iraq, whatever. You and I are presented snippets from news media, depending where they lie in their mind about what's going on. Based on the snippets that you and I am presented with, we draw conclusions. And I would submit to you this morning, as I've realized in the ministry, informed people are contented people. Uninformed people make judgments that are wrong. What judgment can you and I make based on the snippets we receive? Nothing. Because we don't know the big picture. I can voice my opinion on this, and I do have it. But then again, what's the use of a mind if you can't change it? And I see what's going on within our country. I see what's going on within the world. I see how our population is declining. I see how India has got 17,000 births a day and America is a few thousand, 10,000 if that. It might even be more in India. It might be 70,000, not 17,000. India surpassed China with its population growth already. As a matter of fact, India is the most populated place in the world, the most population in the world. China second. But China's decreasing at a rapid, rapid pace. The other country that is now increasing birth rate is Nigeria, Africa. So many people make a decision based on snippets. John the Baptist never gave a snippet. He laid it out. Peter never gave a snippet. He laid it out. And he said, repent, change your views. Read the entire chapter and you'll find the gist of it in Acts chapter 2. And purpose to accept Christ. Views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner self instead of rejecting it and be baptized. Every one of you. Notice now. In the name of Jesus. Firstly, repent. Then get baptized. For the forgiveness and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each of you must repent and be baptized. A better translation is on the screen. Because of the release from and the forgiveness of your sins, because you've accepted Jesus, because you accept what he says, because you accept what he proclaims him to be. I am the Messiah. I am God. I've come for you to die for your sins. Because of the release from and forgiveness of your sins, be baptized upon the authority of Jesus Christ. Now you only get baptized by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. But notice, repent. Let me sum this up. Repent from what? What must I turn? Let's speak to the audience this morning. Some of you I do not know. Some of you are here for the first time. How many of you will accept the fact that you are a sinner? Just think that through first before you answer it in your head. Well, you've got to define a sinner. Is there such a thing as a good sinner, a medium sinner, and a bad sinner? No. Don't you think it's unfair? I've never murdered. So how can that be equated to a bank robber? Aren't there degrees? I'm trying to twist your mind, man. Well, we've got to go to the source. We can debate the source, which is the Bible. How reliable is the Bible? I would submit to you, it's the most reliable book in the world. Reason? It's God breathed. God instituted. God ushered it in by instructing what to write. So that's why they say it's God breathed. Its originator is God. So if I go to the Word of God, I find some interesting things. Three I will present to you, and then we'll close. Romans 3:23, and I would like you to read it with me. Yes, all. So how many have sinned? So are you a sinner? Would you like to debate that? Oh, you obedient sheep. I'm a child of God now, which means I sin less and less. I'm not sinless. I just sin less and less as I grow in God's grace and mercy. Yes, all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious ideal. Well, when did this happen? When did we all sin? The day I was born. But who sinned before me? How come I inherited Eve's sin? Do you know, as I said last week, Adam never sinned. Eve sinned. Oh no, but he... Hey, listen, ladies. Let me tell you what happened in the garden. I was there. Let me tell you what happened there. Eve was enticed by the snake, the devil in the snake. And at that time, the snake was walking upright. I don't know what kind of snake that was to see a snake upright. Because after the curse, he was going to sail on the ground. So the snake appealed to Eve. I don't know where. Adam was somewhere checking out the garden or something. No, he came to her later. Don't put the blame on him so quick. Got to get the context. He came to him and his wife was eating. And all that Adam did, he was obedient to his wife in the sense of he ate what was put on the table. You like that, eh? He was an obedient husband. When you turn your wife's food away, you will have the wrath of God. All have sinned. All. Anybody excused? No. No. From God's glorious ideal. What is God's glorious ideal? Peace, harmony, eternal life. In Romans 6:23, we find it been taken to another level. All have sinned. Okay? So what's the wages of sin? Death. But now notice, the free gift of God is eternal life. We've fallen short, but there's the gift. Eternal life. How do I get eternal life? Now, you and I can't actually comprehend that. We're living in this body. This body is going to die. Unless the rapture takes place, and the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. But this body is going to die. But the body is going to be resurrected in the sense of what it was made up of, not exactly as it is. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. How do I get eternal life? Okay? If I reject Jesus, what's the ultimate then? What's the future? Death. Separation from God. And that's what this repentance is all about. This is where you are. That's not where God wants you. But I don't believe in God. Don't worry, you'll meet him. Even if you don't believe in him. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Free, 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 free. I nearly said it. Just like socialism and communism, but this is different. The free gift of God is eternal life. And the eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. Let's wrap it up. What Peter did on the day of Pentecost was telling the people to repent, to turn away from their sin and turn to God. And then we find an interesting thing which we quote so often in this church, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, based on what? Everything, therefore, based on everything that I've said before. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, it's interesting. The King James Version does not use that word make. It uses the word teach. No big deal if you analyze it and you look and you interpret it. There's various ways to interpret it, and they're all correct. Yeah, therefore go and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? How? Firstly, you've got to show them the word. They've got to change their mind, dude. They've got to repent. In repenting, they've got to then do what? Get baptized by full immersion. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations. Share this gospel. Get it out. And that's what he said. You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. You're going to carry this message of hope. Because mankind is in a hopeless condition. Why is mankind in a hopeless condition? Because all have sinned. But God's free gift is eternal life. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ah, then, of course, look what happens. And then do what? Teach. Teach who? What's a disciple? Follower of Jesus Christ. So, teach these new disciples to obey all. So, who must go make disciples? Who do you think? I'm going to help you. Take your hand, put it on your chest, and say, me. I've got to go make disciples. What must I do? Somebody's shouting, me, me. I love that. Who's shouting, me, me out there? Me. I must go make disciples, which means I've got to go share the gospel with them. And then I've got to make sure they get baptized. Then I've got to teach these new disciples to do what? The most difficult thing to do. To teach an old dog new tricks. Teach these new disciples to obey. Obey what? How easy is it to obey? As I told you over and over, you have never been born with obedience. Obedience is learnt. I've never seen a child being born with obedience. Obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, that I'm with you always to the end of the world, to the end of the age, the dispensation, not the end of the world burning now. And don't you believe a word when people tell you the world is at its end. It's not at its end. We still got to see the temple rebuilt. That's going to be quiet soon, I believe. We got to see the 7 years of tribulation. We got to see Armageddon. We got to see the 1,000 years of peace. And then after that, the Bible says the devil's let loose for a little. Now I'm into the thousands. I don't know where I am after that. And then only there's the renovation of the heavens and the earth. So don't let anybody tell you the end of the world is near. Define it. When you say end of the world, what do you mean? If you mean the end of the dispensation we're living in, yes. We're going to move over to another dispensation, another era. I understand that. But not the earth being destroyed. The earth is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be renovated. I got that off my chest. And that's a freebie. Repent. Repent. Change your mind, dude. Turn from something, turn to God. Now that we have turned from something and we've turned to God, we have a responsibility. What is that responsibility? Go make disciples. Go. Go make disciples. Go share your faith. Go share what you've experienced in Jesus. Go share it with people. Oh, they may not want to listen. Share it in any case. Oh, they may turn me away. So what? There's always somebody that will accept it. Because not everybody's going to go to heaven. We saw that last week. So you and I need to get our marching boots on. Clothe ourselves with the armor of God and let's be obedient in sharing the gospel wherever we go. Because eternity is a long time. And I don't want to be eternally outside of the presence of God. I want to be eternally with God, that I may worship Him, adore Him, and love Him. Can we pray together? Father, I love You.